This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 188, Balancing Grit and Grace. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast. I am excited, as always, to have you here. I hope you are having an amazing summer and enjoying some downtime. I know I have been, but I'm also looking forward to the fall because the fall is when my next cohort for the Advanced Training in Nervous System Resilience starts. So if you are interested in that, if you really want to up-level, immerse yourself in learning about your own nervous system, or if you're a coach or a helping professional and want to know how to integrate using and teaching about the nervous system in your own coaching, then make sure you are on the wait list for when the doors open to get started in the next September training. So I want to share with you a story. Back in 2014, we were traveling with my brother and his family and some friends and all of our kids. We were on a houseboat and it was in Lake Powell. 6 adults, 12 kids. Yes, we were crazy. We had planned this trip the year earlier in 2013, but my husband, Rob, had a heart attack in March of 2014. But the trip was already planned for the end of July. We were tempted to cancel it because there was still a lot of anxiety and insecurity around his health at that time. And quite honestly, we were all worried about going far away on a lake in Lake Powell, far from civilization. We were very hypervigilant at that time because of his heart. So we ended up still going to Lake Powell, and we went into the lake, not as far as we wanted, and we didn't travel around like we had anticipated. We sort of docked in an inlet that was not too far away from the mainland, and we just did some hiking and explored from there. It made us feel better that we weren't too far from civilization, but we had a blast. The kids were at the age where it really didn't matter. All they wanted to do was swim, and we had a motorboat, and so they were wakeboarding and tubing and water skiing and doing all those things. And of course, because of all this swimming, we had a ton of towels. And there were 6 adults, 12 kids, towel for each person. That's a lot of towels. So every day they would get soaking wet, we'd hang them over the railing on the second level of the boat. When it got windy, sometimes I kept on saying like, oh, we're gonna lose one of those towels. They're gonna blow right off and they're gonna fall in the water. Well, one day one did. And one of my kids who had been up on the third level saw it happen and came down to where I had been sitting on the sun deck for, about 30 seconds. I just arrived there. And this child said to me, one of our towels found in the water. And I was like, oh, are you going down to get it? That's why you're on your way down? And they were like, no, it's sunk. And I thought, okay, well, did you see where it fell? Because we were in deep waters. They were like, yeah, I saw where it fell. And they pointed to the spot and said, well, are you going to go in and get it? No, I don't think so. The water looks deep there. And so I said, you're not even going to try to go get it? And the response was, no, it's gone. It's gone. There's no point. So I got up from the 30 seconds of relaxed sitting that I had been doing. I went into the water. I walked around for a few seconds searching for the lost towel. My niece, who was there, she overheard the conversation. She jumped in with goggles, very resourceful, and started searching with me. And within 30 seconds, we located the towel and another towel too. And I was kind of annoyed by this experience. I was kind of frustrated with my kid that felt so like, whatever, with the towel. Not even trying to find something, even though it would take 30 seconds to do. And that summer, we had a few more incidents happen. Nothing out of the normal for when you have teens or tweens. So I'm not harping on my kids thinking there's something wrong with them. I think this is in general, teens and tweens and often a lot of adults. Is that when tasks get hard, we want to give up on things. And I saw this over the summer. My kids weren't really trying to do new things. Or when things were too hard, they would just give up so easily. Or I had kids, even though they were teens or tweens, they would say like, well, that's not really me. So I shouldn't have to do this, or I shouldn't have to try, which made me kind of laugh because I'd always think like, well, what do you mean it's not really you? Like, you've already decided who you are. I'm still trying to figure this out. This is an ongoing journey. And I started being more observant because what you start looking for, you find. Starting to see this general idea of people having this concept that life should be easy. You shouldn't have to deal with consequences. If you don't want to do things, you don't have to do things. And so that summer, I really got into this concept of grit, or the lack of grit. And I started researching it more. Now, there's a fantastic TED Talk about grit by Angela Duckworth that you totally should check out. And by definition, grit is really its courage and resolve, its strength of character. It's the relentless pursuit of goals characterized by perseverance and passion. And it's about pushing through challenges, staying committed over the long term, and maintaining effort despite all the failures and setbacks. And I went and I looked at what are the synonyms of grit, and I love them. Courage, bravery, mettle, backbone, spirit, strength of character, strength of will, moral fiber, steel nerve, fortitude, toughness, hardiness, resolve, resolution, determination, tenacity, perseverance, endurance. So I love all those synonyms. And grit is really important because it's often what drives sustained effort and hard work, which are things that are often required for achieving significant accomplishments. And we know that people with grit are more likely to succeed in challenging endeavors because they don't give up easily. And you can think of just some famous examples, like Thomas Edison was known for his persistence, that he failed thousands of times before he successfully created the light bulb. And his most famous quote was, "I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that won't work." And that really exemplified his level of grit. And then you think of so many different athletes. And I think of Serena Williams, tennis champion. She has faced so many different injuries and setbacks throughout her career, but consistently returned to the court with this determination and this resilience and this grit. So those are just a couple of famous examples. But I think there are some real benefits of developing grit or becoming more gritty. Things like persistence, which helps us as individuals to overcome obstacles and to achieve long-term goals. And then, of course, some of the benefits of developing grit fall in the area of resilience. Resilience helps us build a strong character capable of handling adversity. And then just achievements. Having grit often leads to significant achievements and success. So this is one of the reasons why I think it's a really important skill or a characteristic, whatever you want to call it, to develop. But there is a but. There is also a cost of grit, which I think needs to be considered. And I'll say here that I think these costs aren't necessarily the costs I was worried about for my 12-year-old kid at the time. I actually think all my kids at that age and stage needed to develop more grit. And I think they're all pretty gritty now. They've done a good job, and I'm sure it's an ongoing process because it's ongoing for me as well. But grit does need to be balanced out, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, there are some consequences if you're solely focused on grit, primarily things like burnout, because when you are putting in so much effort without rest, that can lead to physical and mental exhaustion. And then it can also lead to rigidity. So excessive focus on your goals may cause you to be more inflexible and have a harder time adapting. And then overall, there can be a neglect of well-being. Sometimes we're not taking care of ourselves and our personal relationships because we're so focused on grit. So there really are some pros and cons with grit. And I think that is why it's important to balance grit out with something like grace. Now, grace is the ability to maintain composure and kindness and empathy, especially in difficult situations. And it really involves understanding and compassion and the capacity to forgive yourself and forgive others. And grace helps build strong, positive relationships, and it really fosters an environment where people can feel more valued and respected. It's really essential for our emotional well-being, for our social harmony, for our relationships. Now, just like with grit, there are some famous people. With grace, I can think of some famous examples. So somebody like Nelson Mandela, he spends 27 years in prison and he emerged with this spirit of forgiveness and was peaceful and really had this focus on reconciliation. Mother Teresa is another example known for immense compassion. She dedicated her life to helping the poorest of the poor, always treating people with such kindness and grace and respect. And I think back to people in my own life who demonstrated a lot of grace. Maybe there are people who are going through hard times and still be willing to be kind and generous with their kindness. And we know that developing grace has some good benefits as well. So having grace enhances our understanding and our management of emotions. It helps us to improve the relationships that we have overall. It is often tied to forgiveness, and that can promote healing and reduce stress by helping us let go of grudges. And I'll just say here, I haven't done an episode on forgiveness yet. It has been in the works for a long time. I'll get there. I totally believe forgiveness is a gift you give yourself, and it is tied to grace. So that is a benefit of it. Grace also is a way to foster compassion, where we create a supportive and nurturing environment. But like with everything else, there are two sides of the coin. So too much grace can lead to things like over-accommodating. And excessive kindness can lead to maybe you being taken advantage of, but it can also rob other people of their opportunity to grow resilience and to live their own experiences. So too much grace can actually lead to avoiding necessary confrontations. There are some things that we need to confront, and that can lead to some unresolved issues. And then even too much grace can lead to neglect as well, where we prioritize other people's needs too much, and maybe we're neglecting our own needs. So you can kind of see that both grit and grace are important. They both have benefits, they both have cons. And I think they both need each other, and we need to have both. Combining grit and grace allows us to have that sustained effort while maintaining emotional health and positive relationships. Grit helps you to stay on track with your goals, while grace ensures that when you make a mistake or you have challenges, you're able to maintain your humanity and your empathy along the way. So you want to have healthy doses with each. Let's talk now about how do you develop grit and grace. Well, developing grit, one of the things that Duckworth shared in her TED Talk is that we want to establish a growth mindset. So if you think of anybody you know that has a growth mindset, you will likely see that they have a lot of grit as well. The two kind of go hand in hand. And I did do a podcast episode way back when, I think back in 2021, about growth mindset. But a growth mindset is where you embrace challenges and view failures as opportunities to learn and to grow. Now, the next thing we can do to develop grit is we can set some long-term goals. Start by defining what you want to accomplish, breaking the goal down into small, manageable steps, and then taking one step at a time. And we do want to follow that Goldilocks principle. If a goal is too hard, we can get discouraged and give up. If it's too easy, we'll get bored and lose motivation. So we need it to be just right. And having these goals to work towards can help us develop grit. Now, working towards goals, it also requires self-discipline, which is another thing that we want to focus on in order to develop grit. We want to build habits that support achieving our goals. And what kind of routines do we set for ourselves? What are some small goals that we can work towards? Where are the goals that we can grow and develop that self-discipline of attaining those goals in small little chunks? And then grit also requires support from other people. We want to surround ourselves with people who are encouraging and supporting your efforts. And I do think this goes for if you're a parent with our children. We want to be supporting them, not doing things for them or removing all the barriers. We want to be their support, knowing that they're going to encounter challenges and they need these challenges and these experiences to grow. So we don't want to rob them of the opportunities to develop their own confidence by jumping in all the time, but they will benefit from our support. So those are some of the ways that we can develop more grit. Now, we need to be balancing as I said earlier, the grit with the grace to have a more rounded approach. How do we develop grace? Is it something that you can develop? Well, I think you can develop it. In fact, I think just being more aware and deciding you want to have more grace fosters more grace and will help you develop more grace naturally. There are some things that you can do, and I believe that so much of it stems from your nervous system. It's easier to have grace when you're in that zone of resilience. And things to develop grace, I believe, are very similar to the things that we use to develop and expand our zone of resilience. And they include things like practicing mindfulness. So spending time engaging in mindfulness activities, whether it be meditation or journaling, things that help you develop more self-awareness and lead to more nervous system resilience, and then also more emotional regulation. Another way that we can develop more grace is by working on developing more empathy and compassion. Actively listening to other people, trying to understand their perspectives and feelings can help us nurture grace. We do want to stay rooted in that zone of resilience when we are expressing empathy and compassion, because we also need to make sure we are protecting ourselves. So you may want to go back to an episode that I did earlier all about the difference between empathy and compassion. Now, thirdly, we can develop grace by working with forgiveness, cultivating forgiveness. That's what I mentioned earlier. Trying to let go of grudges, practicing forgiving ourselves, practicing forgiving others. And then simply engaging in acts of kindness is a fourth way that we can use to develop grace. Random acts of kindness, it really can help us reinforce our own compassionate behavior. Now, in some ways, grit and grace, they can seem like opposing forces, but they actually complement each other beautifully. So it can really look like sustaining effort on a goal, but doing so with compassion. For example, imagine you set a goal, you're working your butt off to achieve it. That's the grit portion. You've got the self-discipline, the routine, the habit, the sacrifice. But along the way, you encounter some setback and challenges, which is inevitable in our life. Now, if you introduce the grace aspect, what will happen is you will decide to celebrate how far you've come, engage in positive self-talk, give yourself some love and rest, and then keep going. Another example can be around goal setting and achieving goals while also maintaining balance. So for example, a student may aim to excel academically. So that's the grit portion. They're studying diligently, they're pushing through challenging coursework, but they're going to balance this with the grace of taking time to take care of themselves, to engage in self-care, to practice mindfulness, to build supportive friendships, to make sure that they're getting that physical outlet as well, getting that exercise, getting that sleep. So having that balance falls under the grace portion. The result then is the student can achieve higher performance and maintain mental, emotional, physical well-being, really trying to prevent that burnout. And a third example can just be in relationships, where maybe you're dealing with some conflicts that inevitably will occur in relationships. So maybe in your long-term relationship partners, we often face recurring conflicts. One person's grit can help you stay committed to resolving the issues, not giving up when things get tough. Meanwhile, grace can allow you to approach the conflicts with empathy, listening to your partner, responding with kindness. So your relationship thus will grow stronger as both partners will feel heard and valued, and they're willing to work through difficulties together. So you can see how we can really benefit from both grace and from grit. Now, other ways that we can merge grace and grit together is we can really see the benefit of grit and grace when we do things like set boundaries. When we set boundaries, we can be firm about our needs and our limits, which is the grit portion, but communicate them with respect and empathy, which is the grace portion. So maybe at work, you can assert that you need specific time, focus time set aside to complete a project, but you let people know by explaining kindly your reasons that you want to do it and offering other times that you can have, say, conversations with them. In everyday life, we can pursue excellence in what we're working on, but then also remain humble and open to feedback. So maybe an artist will work tirelessly at their craft, trying to improve every single piece that they create. So that's the grit. But they can also remain open to constructive criticism and are grateful for the insights of mentors and peers. That's the grace portion. And then navigating failure in general, really persisting in your efforts to overcome obstacles. That's the grit portion. But really being kind to yourself and forgiving yourself for the mistakes that you make with a strong focus on resilience, which is the grace portion. So maybe you encounter a setback and you continue to work hard. You try to fix the situation. You try to learn from the experience, which is that grit portion. But at the same time, you make sure you're practicing self-compassion. You acknowledge that mistakes are all part of the growth process. So overall, grit and grace, they are both needed. You need doses of both. Without grace, grit can lead to things like burnout and strained relationships and inflexibility and an inability to adapt. But without grit, grace can lead to more complacency, lack of progress, and unfulfilled potential. But together, when we nourish them together, they create a much more balanced approach that really does foster resilience and growth and a lot of harmony. So I hope you found that helpful. I hope that you'll be inspired to continue on the road to developing and creating both grit and grace. And I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.